You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, new Browns gear is arriving weekly. So stop into the team shop in downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium, please. It's open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week, or shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. New styles. You walk in with like a different looking shirt almost every day at Nike. You rock the.
There's a lot of good gear, man. There's a lot of good gear. This year, I think, has been good. I like the polos this year. The new shorts. I think if anybody is a Browns fan, you like to work out and you need some good shorts to go work out, and the new Browns shorts with the orange stripes on the side are phenomenal.
Now, on the style thing, they're almost like a couple of inches short of a capri. They're really long.
They're just right over the knee where a short should be. That's where a short should be for men. They're not necessarily. They're not capris.
Well, you're tall. They look good on you because you're a tall guy. They work for you. Well, yeah, but I'm just wondering,
a shorter person
they're
going
to be down to his ankles.
They wouldn't need such, you know. Listen, I got the XL on it, and part of that's for the length of it. You know, if you don't need that, you know, you got to dial it back a little bit.
The style, the design is
very
nice.
It's very breathable, cool, nice stretchy fabric. Right. It is good.
The clothing thing is working. I mean, the whole discussion about the orange jerseys, we see those. We like those.
I wonder what's going to happen with those. And we didn't get a chance to ask Coach Pettine that. I'm saving that for the regular season, I think. I'll throw that one at him.
If they're going to break those out
any time in the regular season.
216-578-0850. But before we go to phones, we go to Detroit. And we talk to a friend who covers the Lions and who's been on with us before and has done a tremendous job covering this team for a while. He is Tim Twentyman from DetroitLions.com. Tim, welcome.
What's up, Vic? How you doing?
Doing well, my friend. And first question I guess we had for you, because we were thinking about the ways that this defense can maybe show a little something here from Cleveland's end. Will they have Calvin Johnson, you think, to contend with tomorrow night?
You know, Jim Caldwell's been a really veteran-friendly coach during camp. He's giving guys a lot of time off. He's trying to save these guys, especially the older guys. And he's been that way with Calvin. And you know, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Calvin did not play. And if he does play, I would bet it would be just one series. But don't be surprised at all if you don't see Megatron tomorrow night. It's more about the regular season for these guys.
You know, anybody else you'd expect not to see that you would count on to be a big part of this team in the regular season?
Sorry, say the question one more time.
Is there anybody else other than Calvin Johnson you would expect to not see in this game that is obviously going to be a big part in the regular season?
Yeah, we'll have to see around game time. Eric Ebron, their number one pick, he missed a couple of days of practice on Wednesday and Thursday because of an undisclosed injury. He was back on the practice field today, but it was really light. It was more of a walkthrough today. So I bet he's probably going to be a game time decision. But that's one that obviously the fans will be really interested in. And wanting to see. So that's probably the main other one besides Calvin.
Tim Twentyman joining us on the Ohio Business Machines hotline from DetroitLions.com. So, Tim, let's talk about the rest of this offense. Matthew Stafford, the story last year, a guy who really collapsed a lot, his performance late in games and later in the season, and that kind of was the story of the 2013 Lions. How much has bringing aboard Jim Caldwell, who worked with Peyton Manning, who got that team with Manning to a Super Bowl champion, or to the Super Bowl, I should say, but how much has that coaching change, replacing Jim Schwartz, meant in difference in a good way for Matthew Stafford?
Yeah, it's been huge for him. And I'd throw Joe Lombardi, their offensive coordinator, in there too. I mean, he was Drew Brees' quarterback coach the last 5 years, so... you know, certainly those two additions, they've basically broken Matthew down. You know, it's all new plays. They're focusing on fundamentals. And the big message with Matthew this offseason is the turnovers. Let's limit the turnovers. I mean, you look at this team on paper, they've got explosive weapons. They've got a very good offensive line, probably top five in the league. They've got two really good running backs. The things that killed this offense last year were, one, injuries to Calvin at the end of the year, but two are turnovers, way too many turnovers. And if they can almost get out of their own way, they'd be a much better offense. And so I think it's all about taking care of the football with Matthew, fixing some of his fundamentals, and I think it's going to go a long way to help him. But that's really been the biggest message from Joe and Jim Caldwell, is take care of the football.
And is this offense, how different will it look this year with the coaching staff change there and the addition of Golden Tate now giving you a very legitimate number two receiver, as your former number two receiver has made his way down to Cleveland and Nate Burleson?
Yeah, you know, and no offense to Nate. Nate was a terrific player here, but Nate Burleson, to me, is a possession guy. You know, mm-hmm. I don't think Nate is going to take a five-yard pass and take it 75 yards. You know, that's not a knock on Nate. That's just not the kind of player he is at this stage in his career, and that's what they get in Golden Tate. They've got a guy who's really terrific, dynamic, run-after-the-catch type of guy, and when you're going to see as much single coverage as he is opposite Calvin, the Lions are looking for big things from him. It's just breaking that one tackle, you know, and making plays and shifting some of that coverage away from Calvin. In terms of the offense as a whole, it's going to be a lot different, guys. I mean, there's a fullback in Detroit for the first time since 2010. They drafted Eric Ebron. They have Brandon Pettigrew, so you're going to see a ton of two tight end sets.
And again, we are visiting with Tim Twentyman. He's joining us via the Ohio Business Machines Hotline here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura. Tim, let's talk about the defense. Jim Schwartz, that was the signature part of what he was as a head coach there. Aggressive defensive front, especially that defensive line. He's now the defensive coordinator in Buffalo. They're hoping he'll do what he did in Detroit there. But the question in Detroit is whether Terrell Austin, who they brought aboard as an assistant, he had been with the Ravens, now as their defensive coordinator. What are some of the changes, even though the names, Ndamukong Suh, Nick Fairley, very familiar as key players in that defense?
Yeah, you know, they're not going to be as predictable. That's probably one thing, Vic. I mean, you're not going to see Ziggy Ansah always on the right side and the nine technique. You know, they really want to move guys around, and that includes Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley. They're going to put those guys outside. They're going to at times they're going to shift guys like Jason Jones, who can play both inside and outside on the inside and move some guys around. But probably the biggest difference you guys will notice right away is what they do with their Sam linebacker. You know, they drafted Kyle Vannoy in the second round, and they're going to play that 4-3 Sam guy right on the line of scrimmage a lot. And he's probably going to rush the quarterback half the time, and he's going to drop back in coverage. They needed a versatile guy to kind of play that role. They didn't have it, which is why they drafted Vannoy. And I think behind that, they're going to play a lot more man coverage. You're going to see defensive backs on the line of scrimmage, you know, man coverage. Even when they blitz, you know, it's going to be some fireman coverage. So it's going to be a lot of blitzing. It's going to be more aggressive. But you're certainly going to be able to see some different things in terms of alignment and guys playing a lot of different spots.
Is this going to be a team that just airs it out? We know that Lombardi comes from the Saints. That's a team that likes to throw the football a lot. And how do you see Joyke Bell, who recently signed his three-year extension, and Reggie Bush kind of divvying up that workload in the backfield? Because we know the Saints were a team that really liked to use all of their backs, so there never was one guy that was doing too much.
Yeah, to your point, you know, the Saints had four running backs last year that carried the ball at least three times. And I think you'll see a similar thing in Detroit. They really like Theo Riddick, their second-round or their second-year guy out of Notre Dame, and Mikel LeSure, that they have a role for him as well. But, you know, it's really going to be about Reggie Bush and Joyke Bell. It's a terrific duo. They became the first tandem last year to each rush for 500 yards and catch 500 yards worth of passes. So they want to run the ball more. You know, you mentioned off the top on your question about airing it out, and they can certainly do that. I mean, you're going to throw the ball down when you have Calvin Johnson. Let's not get ourselves. But – you know, this was a 60-40 team last year in terms of pass versus run, and I think they want to be closer to 50-50. Lombardi's going to use a lot of backs. I think they're relying on a lot of short passes and letting Eric Ebron and Golden Tate make plays after the catch. You air it out, that's where the interceptions and the turnovers that I talked about can happen. So I actually see them running the football a little more and maybe throwing a lot of safer routes and letting guys make plays after the catch, and I think that will help limit Matthew Stafford's turnovers. At least that's the goal.
Tim, the last time these teams played in the 2013 regular season, the Browns helped make Joe Foria a star.
They did.
And he's still backing up Brandon Pettigrew at tight end, but obviously, and then they draft Eric Ebron. I mean, as if to even make the statement as loud as they possibly could about how much help they needed at tight end, despite his best, or the Browns' best efforts, I guess, to boost up Foria's stock. Ebron's in there. Give us some discussion about this tight end group, because how that performance goes, that matchup, is a little something I think we're looking to see on how the Browns' linebackers, with Carlos Dansby in there now and Chris Kirksey, the draft pick, how much better they think they are in covering those kinds of passes.
Yeah, you know, what the Lions can throw at opponents now with Eric Ebron is three tight ends that really do a lot of different things. I mean, you've got Brandon Pettigrew, and he's a terrific, you know, inline blocker. probably one of the best in the league and can make plays on the short and intermediate passing routes. And then you've got Ebron. He's the guy who's going to play that Jimmy Graham role in this offense. I'm not comparing him to Jimmy Graham, but I'm saying he's going to play that role. They're two very different players, but he's going to be the explosive guy that makes plays down the seam. And then you've got Joe Fourier, and Fourier's really going to be the red zone kind of guy. You know, he's 6'7". He's got soft hands. He's not extremely fast. He doesn't run routes great, and he's not a top-end blocker, which is why I think you'll see him more in the red zone. And the other two guys, you know, most of the time from in between the 20s, but they can certainly throw a lot of different weapons at teams from the tight end position. It's going to put a lot of pressure on linebackers, starting with Cleveland tomorrow night.
And that's something that was exposed certainly when the Browns took on the Lions in the regular season last year for you, the three touchdowns in that game, and kind of unraveled the mystery that had been about what had been a very good Browns pass defense the first five games of the season before that one. This year they do have some linebackers, hopefully, who can be equipped to cover with Carlos Dansby. They draft Chris Kirksey. How much do you think you're going to see your first team out there, though, in this game with Matt Stafford under center, et cetera, throwing the ball around?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. We asked Jim Caldwell that today because it is a new scheme, and there are some new players, and we all wondered if maybe that would promote the starters playing a little bit more, but I think it's going to be normally what you see in a first preseason game, probably one or two series max for those guys, unless they have a couple three and outs and maybe you want to look at them a little bit more. But if they get some good work in and they move the ball a little bit, I would only expect to see Matthew Stafford and company for maybe one or two series.
All right, Tim, thanks so much. We'll see you up in Detroit tomorrow as the Lions and the Browns look up for the preseason opener at Ford Field, 7:30 p.m. tomorrow night.
All right, safe travels up, guys.
All right,
thanks, Tim.
Tim Twentyman from Detroit Lions official team website there with us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, giving a Lions perspective before the preseason opener. We will be back with more here on CBD. Get your questions in. What are you looking forward to the most? Or you can tweet me at Nathan Zagura, at Browns_Daily, at Vic Carucci. And also got to give a shout-out to former CBD intern Megan Rock, making the trip up to Detroit right now as the Browns are on their way, on the road, to starting the 2014 preseason.